Further teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 45, The Final Years at Jagannath Puri, Episode 16, Lord Chaitanya's Ecstatic Exhibitions, Part 13, taken from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, Chapter 18, Rescuing Lord Chaitanya from the Sea. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in one of three different states of consciousness at all times, namely, internal, external, and half-external. When Lord Chaitanya was deeply absorbed in internal consciousness, but nevertheless exhibited some external consciousness, devotees called Lord Chaitanya's condition Ardhabhaya, or half-external consciousness. So in this half-external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked like a madman. The devotees could distinctly hear Lord Chaitanya speaking to the sky. Upon seeing the river Yamuna, I went to Vrindavan. There I saw the son of Nanda Maharaj performing his sporting pastimes in the water. Lord Krishna was in the water of the Yamuna in the company of the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. They were performing pastimes in a great sporting manner. I saw this pastime as I stood on the bank of the Yamuna in the company of the gopis. One gopi was showing some other gopis the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the water. All of the gopis entrusted their silken garments and ornaments to the care of their friends and then put on fine white cloth. Lord Krishna, taking his beloved gopis with him, bathed and performed very nice pastimes in the water of the Yamuna. My dear friends, just see Lord Krishna's sporting pastimes in the water. Krishna's restless palms resemble lotus flowers. Krishna is just like the chief of mad elephants, while the gopis who accompany Krishna are like she-elephants. The sporting pastimes in the water began, and everyone started splashing water back and forth. In the tumultuous showers of water, no one could be certain which party was winning and which was losing. The sporting water fight increased unlimitedly. The gopis were like steady streaks of lightning, and Krishna resembled a blackish cloud. The lightning began sprinkling water upon the cloud, and the cloud also upon the lightning. Like thirsty Chataka birds, the eyes of the gopis joyously drank the nectarian water from the cloud. As the fight began, they splashed water upon one another. Then they fought hand to hand, then face to face, then chest to chest, teeth to teeth, finally nail to nail. Thousands of hands splashed water, and the gopis saw Krishna with thousands of eyes. With thousands of legs, the gopis came near Krishna, and the gopis kissed Krishna with thousands of faces. Thousands of bodies embraced Krishna. The gopis heard Krishna's joking words with thousands of ears. Then Krishna forcibly swept Radharani away and took Radha into water up to her neck. Krishna then released Radha where the water was very deep. Radharani grasped Krishna's neck, however, and floated on the water like a lotus flower plucked by the trunk of an elephant. Krishna expanded himself into as many forms as there were gopis, and then took away all the garments which covered them. The water of the river Yamuna was crystal clear, and Krishna saw the glittering bodies of the gopis in great happiness. The lotus stems were friends of the gopis and therefore helped the gopis by offering them lotus leaves. The lotuses pushed their large round leaves over the surface of the water with their hands, the waves of the Yamuna, in order to cover the gopis' bodies. Some gopis undid their hair and kept it in front of them as dresses in order to cover the lower portions of their bodies and use their hands as bodices to cover their breasts. Then Krishna quarreled with Radharani, and all the gopis hid themselves in a cluster of white lotus flowers. They submerged their bodies up to their necks in the water, and only their faces floated above the surface, and the faces were indistinguishable from the lotuses. In the absence of the other gopis, Lord Krishna behaved with Srimati Radharani as freely as Krishna desired. When the gopis began searching for Krishna, Srimati Radharani, being of very fine intelligence and thus knowing the situation of her gopi friends, immediately mingled within their midst. Many white lotus flowers were floating in the water, and as many bluish lotus flowers came nearby. And as they came closer together, the white and blue lotuses collided and began fighting with one another. Meanwhile, the gopis on the bank of the Yamuna watched with great amusement. When the raised breasts of the gopis, which resemble the globe-like bodies of Chakravaka birds, emerged from the water in separate couples, the bluish lotuses of Krishna's hands rose to cover them. The hands of the gopis, which resembled red lotus flowers, arose from the water in pairs to obstruct the bluish flowers. The blue lotuses tried to plunder the white Chakravaka birds, and the red lotuses tried to protect them. Thus, there was a fight between the two. Now, blue and red lotus flowers are unconscious objects, whereas Chakravakas are conscious and alive. Nevertheless, in ecstatic love, the blue lotuses began tasting the Chakravaks. This is a reversal of their natural behavior. But in Lord Krishna's kingdom, such reversals are a principle of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. The blue lotuses are friends of the sun god, and although they all live together, the blue lotuses plunder the Chakravakas. The red lotuses, however, blossom at night and are therefore strangers or enemies to the Chakravakas. Yet, in Krishna's pastimes, the red lotuses, which are the hands of the gopis, protect their Chakravak breasts. This is a metaphor of contradiction. In his pastimes, Krishna displays the ornaments of hyperbole and reverse analogy. Tasting them brought gladness to my mind, fully satisfying my ears and eyes. After performing such wonderful pastimes, Lord Sri Krishna went up on the shore of the Yamuna River, taking with him all of his beloved gopis. Then the gopis on the riverbank rendered service by massaging Krishna and the other gopis with scented oil and smearing paste of amalaki fruit on their bodies. Then Krishna and the gopis all bathed once again, and after putting on dry clothing, they went to a small jeweled house where the gopi Vrinda arranged to dress them in forest clothing by decorating them with fragrant flowers, green leaves, and all kinds of other ornaments. In Vrindavan, the trees and creepers are wonderful because throughout the entire year they produce all kinds of fruits and flowers. The gopis and maidservants in the bowers of Vrindavana pick these fruits and flowers, bringing them before Radha and Krishna. The gopis peeled all the fruits and placed them together on large plates on a platform in the jeweled cottage. The gopis arranged the fruit in orderly rows for eating, and in front of it they made a place to sit. Among the fruits were many varieties of coconuts and mangoes, bananas, berries, jackfruit, dates, tangerines, oranges, blackberries, santaras, another type of tangerine, grapes, almonds, and all kinds of dried fruit. There were cantaloupes, shirakas, palm fruits, keshuras, water fruits, lotus fruits, bale, pilus, pomegranates, and many others. Some of them are variously known in different places, but in Vrindavan, all of them are always available in so many of varieties that no one can fully describe them. At home, Srimati Radharani had made various types of sweetmeats from milk and sugar, such as Gangajala, Amritakeli, which is a sweetmeat made of milk, Piyusha Granthi, Karpura Keli, Sarapuri, which is another sweet made from milk, Amrita, a sweet prepared from rice flour, Padmachini, a sweet preparation made from lotus flowers, and Kanda Shirasara Vriksha, sugar sweets made in the shape of trees. Sri Radhika had them all brought for Krishna. And when Krishna saw the very nice arrangement of food, Krishna happily sat down and had a forest picnic. Then, after Srimati Radharani and her gopi friends partook of the remnants, Radha and Krishna lay down together in the jeweled house. Some of the gopis fanned Radha and Krishna, while others massaged their feet, and some fed them betel leaves to chew. When Radha and Krishna fell asleep, all the gopis lay down also. And when I saw this, my mind was very happy. Now, suddenly, all of you created a great tumult and picked me up, bringing me back here. Oh, where now is the river Yamuna? Where is Vrindavana? Where are Krishna and the gopis? Oh, you have broken my happy dream. Speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully returned to external consciousness. Seeing Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya questioned him, "Why have you brought me here?" "Oh, my Lord, you mistook the sea for the Yamuna River, and then you jumped into it. You have been carried this far by the waves of the sea. This fisherman caught you in his net and rescued you from the water. And because of your touch, this fisherman is now mad with ecstatic love for Krishna. Throughout the entire night, we all walked about in search of you. After hearing from this fisherman, we came here and found you. While apparently unconscious, you witnessed the pastimes in Vrindavana. But when we saw you unconscious, we suffered great agony in our minds. However, when we chanted the holy name of Krishna, you came to semi-consciousness, and we have all been hearing you speak like a madman. Oh, in my dream I went to Vrindavan, where I saw Lord Krishna performing the Ratha dance with all the gopis. After sporting in the water, Krishna enjoyed a picnic. I can understand that after seeing this, I must certainly have talked like a madman. Thereafter, Swarup Damodara Goswami had Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathe in the sea and then very happily brought Lord Chaitanya back to his home. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami now concludes. Thus, I have described the incident of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's falling into the ocean. Anyone who listens to this pastime will certainly attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Recorded July 15, 2022 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat. Arkave Nithai Chand Koruna Hoibe Shangshara Vasana Mor Kave Tuchha Habe Arkave Nithai Chand Koruna Hoibe Shangshara Vasana Mor Kabe Tuchha Habe Ar Kabe Nithai Chan Koruna Hoibe Shangshara Vasana Mor Kabe Tuchha Habe Goranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Shari Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babe Ar Kabe Nithai Chan Karuna hoibe Sanshar Vasana mor Kabe tuchha habe Nithai Gauranga Nithai Gauranga Nithai Gauranga Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Nithai Gauranga Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Hari Haraye Namaha Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopala Govindarama Sri Madhusudana Hari Haraye Namaha 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Aar kabe nithai chand, koruna hoi ibe, shangshara basana mor, kabe tucha habe. Oh, when will that day come when Lord Nityananda's causeless mercy is bestowed upon me so that my desire for material enjoyment will become very insignificant? Oh, when will that day come?